Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Michael Quirk and Dave Devin on this February the 17th, Wednesday, February the 17th. Hope everyone is having a great hump day out there. Joining us a little bit later on in today's podcast will be the newest Ole Miss Rebel commit, defensive end Markell Winters out of Jones County Junior College in Mississippi. Markell is going to join us, talk a little bit about his decision to become an Ole Miss Rebel. What all went into that, and why he committed so soon in the process? Because a defensive end like Winters is bound to get a lot more offers as the process carries on. But we'll start off by talking about what happened last night in College Station, Texas. The Ole Miss men's basketball team with much on the line, if not everything on the line. Now, there are these I guess for lack of a better word, there is the sunshine-pumping mentality that no matter what game Ole Miss basketball loses, there's still a chance. And I guess that's basketball by nature. If you get hot, if you can make a run, you get to the NCAA postseason. But Michael Quirk, it's looking dire after a 71-56 loss to the Aggies of A&M last night, that this basketball team has a shot of getting to the NCAA tournament. And yes, I understand if they get on a roll and they're capable of winning these last regular season games, they get on a roll in the tournament, you can never say never. But what's this team shown us right now to think that that is going to happen, Michael?
Yeah, I don't think last night's loss knocked them out of the picture as far as, you know, there's no opportunities left to win games and have a decent enough resume to get into a play-in game. I think it knocked them out because of how they played. Stephon Moody still is not shooting well. He's been going through a really long stretch of just poor shooting nights from the field. And the fact that they were dominated on the glass by a team that statistically coming in, they were better than rebounding. I believe they got out-rebounded by 14. And they just weren't getting to the free throw line. We've seen that with a lot of the games lately, that they're living and dying by the three. A couple games this year, they've shot more three-pointers than two-pointers, and they're just not shooting a very high percentage. I believe they shot 26% from three last night. That's just not going to cut it. They're almost at their best when they're getting to the basket and they're getting to the free throw line. They didn't take their first free throw until midway through the second half last night and only took 10 for the game, making six of them. And so it's,
and you mentioned, it's just, yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you mentioned the boards last night. Now, I watched the game, and it looked like the hustle points were going to the Aggies last night, particularly with Caruso. He seemed to always be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and Caruso was almost actually played him relatively well for the game. He came in as the number five in the conference in assists and number one in steals. And he only had two assists and one steal last night and wasn't really a big factor from the floor. Ole Miss locked down the guards of Texas A&M really well. But they, it was very strange for me to see. I wasn't surprised to see Moody's streak sort of continue of poor shooting nights. But Sebastian Saiz looked considerably lost despite he was supposed to be, you know, really getting back into his groove this week in the third game and coming back from a doctor's appointment on Monday, which was supposed to be positive. And he looked sort of lost out there, 8 points, 6 rebounds, and he missed a pair of threes, which that's not who Andy Kennedy's relying on Sebastian Saiz to be, is shooting up threes. And so that part surprised me. And the fact that, you know, the hustle balls were going to A&M lately, there's been a fire around the Ole Miss program with guys like Newby and Giello and Perez hustling to those loose balls, and Dante Fitzpatrick, Dorsey. And you just really didn't see that last night. I'm not questioning the effort. It's just all those hustle 50-50 balls were usually coming up Ole Miss's way in recent weeks, and last night it just was a completely different case.
Well, 16-10, 6-7 in the SEC is not anything to boast about an NCAA tournament resume. You know, 6-7 in the SEC, and the SEC being a middle-of-the-pack basketball league, it's going to take some magic down the stretch. Ole Miss needs to finish the regular season strong, and then they're going to Nashville. And honestly, I'm not sure that they don't have to get to the final date to really even have a case about making the NCAA tournament, no matter what happens from here on out. Now, I mean, you know, Michael, would I be wrong in that assessment? Do they have to play themselves? Do they have to play particularly well down the stretch with very little room for error? And then do they have to play themselves into the final day of the SEC tournament to bust into the field of 68?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And of course, it's not
so
impossible.
I feel like so we can kind of feel like we're Jim Carrey here in Dumb and Dumber going, you're telling me there's a chance, basically. I mean, it's last night hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their RPI is not going to be helped out much over the stretch. Out of their last five games, four of them are against the bottom four teams in the league, and the other is against Georgia, who ESPN had ranked just above Ole Miss in the bubble fringe picture. And so, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities for wins, but also if you lose one of those games, that's going to look, you know, even worse. But there's not really a strong chance whatsoever. They'll have to make a run in the SEC tournament, which I guess if you want to shed some positive light on it, the SEC is everyone in the league is very inconsistent this year. There's no one who you can point to and say, there's Goliath, like you could last year with Kentucky or in years past with Florida or teams like that. But any single team in the SEC is beatable, and anyone can go down the SEC tournament. I think we'll see, you know, a very weird sort of layout play out in Nashville this year, and it's just whoever's going to get hot at the right time can go through. So, you know, at least there's nothing really daunting waiting on you in Nashville, but the chances are really slim, and Ole Miss would have to make a heck of a run over these next few weeks.
All right, and all of this developing following the loss in College Station last night. But you never know. Basketball's that sport that if you do heat up at the end, good things can happen, and we'll see how this season plays out. 16-10, 6-7 in the league right now. Okay, Friday, it's baseball time. Opening day at Swayze Field, the Ole Miss Rebels getting things underway. Michael, I know you went to Mike Bianco's preseason press conference yesterday. Can you kind of give us just a quick vibe on how Bianco's feeling about his Rebels as they get the 2016 season underway Friday?
Coach was in really good spirits yesterday, which may have been in part due to the announcement of $13 million going into the baseball program. But
always helps.
The team is obviously the big news yesterday was the rotation coming out. Brady Bramlett, to no one's surprise, was a Friday guy. Chad Smith will be a Saturday guy. I was hearing that a few weeks ago that he was putting himself in good position to be in the rotation, and sure enough, he earned himself a Saturday spot. And then Sean Johnson was the Sunday guy who wasn't completely out of left field, but that was a little bit of a surprise to me. He has been throwing well this spring, coming off Tommy John. James MacArthur, the freshman, had put himself in pretty good position to make the rotation. He broke his landing foot a couple months ago, and he's back from that, and he will be able to start pitching. He pitched in a scrimmage the other day. And also, David Parkinson, a lefty JUCO transfer, was beat out for that final rotation spot. And so Ole Miss has a sturdy rotation. Of course, Bramlett's very consistent. Chad Smith is a nasty guy, and Sean Johnson is really high potential, and is really a power thrower who's almost at the plate by the time he's done with his windup, considering he's 6'7". and every bit of 6'7". But the team is, you know, there's a lot of experience, a lot of depth here. After spending some time around the team and watching practice and talking to some of the players and coaches and things like that, it's really surprising to see a number 24 by their name when you realize how much talent they have coming back, and not just talent, but experienced guys like Tate Blackman started last year. Errol Robinson, J.B. Woodman, Colby Bortles are three-year starters. Lartigue, he started much of the year last year. You really have so much experience and talent all over the field. And then in the back end, Ole Miss fans can feel pretty safe when the Rebels are leading after seven. You have guys like Wyatt Short at the back end, who's going to be one of the top closers in the country this year. And then you have a guy like Matt Denny, a senior lefty. Will Stokes, who pitched really well at the bullpen last year before being tried as a Sunday starter. There's just a lot of depth everywhere on this team. There's no real obvious hole that you can point to like you could in last year's team. So expectations are really high. And in years past, at these sort of press conferences, you hear them talk about Omaha. This year they're not talking Omaha, they're talking national championships. So you know that their own expectations for themselves have sort of gone up a bit.
That's always good to hear, too, the internal expectations being set so high, because very often that's where the caution is issued from inside out, and the fans generally have a overinflated hope or expectation of how the team is going to do it this year. As you pointed out, 24th in one poll, absent in all the rest, and not a lot of national expectations for this team, but apparently, you know, who would know best? As you can hear, I've got my co-host with me this morning. Tori Kate is putting her day's work in with Rebels 247. But those expectations on the inside are often the ones that are tempered, and you are hearing that coming out of the Ole Miss baseball program this year. They have some expectations of doing some great things, and let's just hope the weather cooperates and we're not playing baseball in sleet and snow. None of that in the forecast. I think the weekend's actually shaping up to be pretty good, Dave, but it's one thing I can't stand is watching baseball in 32-degree weather.
I agree, David. When you think of baseball, you think of green grass, the coolers out, and, you know, cold beer going up in the air, and, you know, quenching the atmosphere, and you know, in that type of temperature, it's not like that. But you know, to just add on of what Michael has said, you know, he gave a really good detailed report there, and you know, it is exciting to see this Ole Miss baseball team after last season, you know, coming up short in the NCAA tournament, to you know, bounce back and be rejuvenated and full spirit to, you know, for that quest for a national championship. And last year, you know, it was, you know, there were concerns with the pitching staff, but I don't think it was, once the season went on, I don't think it was more that concern as it was, you know, leaving runners on bases. Ole Miss left a lot of runners on bases last season, and, you know, that to me, will, in my opinion, will be, you know, the key thing to watch this year. Can they get those hitters in to, you know, fill the depth and get those runners home?
You know, I have to confess something. I got on the internet yesterday getting ready for, I decided to myself I'm going to follow Major League Baseball this year. And I used to be a fanatical Major League Baseball fan. The Atlanta Braves, always my favorite team. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go over to the Braves website. Let me familiarize myself with their players, with the pitching, with the hitting. I left very depressed. You're talking about run production. Oh, my goodness. Are there any bats in the Atlanta Braves order this year? And I'm going to do what I can to get back into Braves baseball. I just need that one sports outlet that I can be a fan of that I'm not covering. I can watch a game and not have to write about it. That's what I'm looking for. So,
but hey, there's room on our Cubs bandwagon that you can jump on.
Well, I may have to jump on that one, but I know they always rip your hearts out at the end. But man, that just kind of boy, what's happening with the Braves? And I know there's an effort to rebuild their farm system, and they do have some top young talent in that farm system, but at the major league level, wow. Cheap family vacation, mid-July, probably could get Braves tickets pretty cheap if you're looking for something to do this year, because I don't know that they're going to be in that contender category necessarily. All right, as we mentioned earlier, Markell Winters, the latest
old
member of the 2017 class, is joining us here today on the Rebel Rise Live podcast, and what a pickup he was. A 6'4.5" Markell, you heard what I said. 6'4.5" right there.
Yes, sir.
We'll tell you about that in a little bit. That's a little bit of an inside joke with Markell and I right there. 6'4.5", 260-pound defensive end out of Jones County Junior College. A native of Tallahassee, Florida. The second commit in Ole Miss's 2017 recruiting class. And Markell, we welcome you to the Rebel Rise Live podcast, and thank you for coming on this morning. And I guess we'll start off by this little height thing. Markell and I have been going back and forth about his height on his 247 Sports profile. Someone keeps listing Markell as 6'3", but we got the man on the show right now who can tell you for himself he's 6'4.5", or somewhere between 6'4 and 6'5". Markell, can you confirm that for us?
Yes, sir. I'm about 6'4", 6'4.5".
You heard it from the man himself. He's not 6'3" anymore. So whoever out there in the 247 Sports Network that keeps changing his height back to 6'3", quit it. Quit it, man. This man knows how tall he is. Markell, we do appreciate you coming on. And the first question I want to ask you. Well, thank you very much. And the first question I want to ask you, and by the way, 247 Sports has rated you now the number 2 weak side defensive end in America in the junior college ranks, the number 4 junior college prospect in the country overall. Those ratings coming out this morning, actually. So congratulations on that. But, Markell, you're welcome. You're a guy from Florida. You're playing JUCO ball in Mississippi. And your recruitment, as far as offers coming into you, not over by a long shot. So what was it that made you want to go ahead and commit to Ole Miss and basically be done with the process? What was it about Ole Miss that made you want to do that?
Just the opportunity they had to offer and just what they could do with me as far as where I want to go with football career and academically. They could give me a good opportunity for me in life when I get my degree in business. And I didn't see no reason why not to commit there. They gave me all the reasons to commit.
Now, a lot of times we talk to defensive players, defensive prospects, and one thing that usually pops up in the conversation is the opportunity to play for a branded defense. And what I mean by that, a defense that is known by name, the Landshark defense. Did any of that play into your thought process, I mean, about playing for a defense that's known from coast to coast?
Most definitely. Like I told you once before, Robert Kimbichi, and they hold defensive front. I love the defensive front, and Robert Kimbichi is one of my favorite players that's in college right now. And I gave him more reason to go ahead and seal the deal.
Now, you mentioned Robert Kimbichi, but watching your film and then talking to other people, a lot of people compare you favorably to Ole Miss defensive end Fidal Brown.
Yeah, I got
that. Body types. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're right. We compare pretty well. He's a little bit bigger than me, like weight wise, but I can put on the weight, and I agree with the comparisons.
Now you had a great season at Jones last year. 1 week, got a 4 sack game, named National Junior College Defensive Player of the Week. What are your goals going into this season down at Jones before you arrive at Ole Miss? What do you want to get done as a player?
Make that Hines game a regular and become All-American and become the number one prospect in the nation.
Now, as you move forward in your recruitment process, there are going to be other offers come in. How will you respond to those offers? I mean, how solid are you on your commitment to Ole Miss?
I mean, I'll definitely hit them out and see what they have to offer. But right now, I'm liking Ole Miss better than any other school. I just got to weigh out my options and stuff. I'm committed, but I'm still going to weigh out my options. Because I'm sure just like on their end, they're going to weigh out their options as well and see who they could get the best fit them, best fit their program. Like, I'm going to try to find a school that best fit me.
Always a business decision on all sides, generally speaking, when it comes to recruiting. Markell, Michael Quirk and Dave Bevin of Rebels 247 are also on the show with us. And I know Dave is in the bullpen. He's warmed up a question for you, so I'm going to toss it to him real quick.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I've got a quick question for you, Markell, and then I'll turn it over to Michael. My question for you is, you've studied Ole Miss's defense. What is it in, you know, a national analyst, they can break down, you know, every aspect of your game. In your opinion, what do you think you bring to the table that can where you can compete right away on this Ole Miss defense?
I have a knack for getting to the ball. And no matter what he had on what a ball carry he had on the field, I find a way to get to him. And my pass rush ability, I use my hands real good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Michael Quirk here. I was wondering, what about your game are you looking to sort of improve upon going into your sophomore year?
I want to have more explosive plays and work on my hands a little bit better and I get off the ball. And I want to work this. Right now I've been working on my speed and try to get it down to a 4.6.
All certainly
good deal.
Admirable goals right there for sure. Well, Markell, I promised you I would not keep you very long. I'm gonna hold up on that end of the promise. But any words for Ole Miss fans who are listening to this podcast today? Any message that you'd like to send them?
It was pleasure to be with y'all. And in a year, y'all will be chanting my name in the stadium.
You heard it here first, folks, from Markell Winters. And let me say this, a 6'4.5" Markell Winters, right? Are we right on that, Markell?
Yes, sir.
We got it right. Markell Winters, the newest Ole Miss Rebel commit in the class of 2017. Markell, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
Markell.
Sir.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Great interview there, guys, with a future Ole Miss Rebel. And he does, Dave, when you look at his film, he really, and his body type, he really does compare favorably to Fadal Brown, I think more so than anybody else on that current Ole Miss defensive line.
You're right. And, you know, he broke it down perfectly there. You know, I've studied his film. He does have that natural, you know, quick step and quick jump on the ball, and you know, he's definitely going to he definitely has a lot of potential to be a lot of promise for Ole Miss's defense down the stretch, and you know, especially right there on the edge.
All right, Michael, turning to important things here. More important things here. How are you handicapping these South Carolina and Nevada primaries coming up? Both sides of the fence now. Who's going to win?
I'm not sure who's going to win, but I know America's going to lose, because the more I watch these things, the more I do not like any candidate.
Well, you know, you've got everything from – I mean, if you disagree with Donald Trump, he's going to slam you in the ground. Now Hillary Clinton's out there hooting like a dog. Bernie Sanders, I'm not sure he could last a full four-year term. It is getting kind of amazing out there in the trenches of American politics. Dave, have you got any predictions for these two big primaries coming up?
I haven't studied it over the past couple of days. I don't have any predictions right offhand.
Well, nobody knows what's going to happen. To me, it's my blood sport this time of the year. I mean, it's entertainment if you really watch it, and it's amazing to see what's going to happen. I mean, Hillary Clinton, if she's defeated by Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary, that would be something to akin of, let's say, Oxford High School beating the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's just not expected. And then nobody thought Donald Trump was going to be in this thing for the long haul. And lo and behold, the more crazy stuff Trump says, the higher he moves up in the polls. I don't know what that says about America, but it says something. That much.
I saw that the brothels in Nevada are supporting Hillary Clinton, which is just a beautiful display of feminism right there.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how the mainstream media, and Lord, what is mainstream? And everything is mainstream nowadays, but how they break these polls down into certain demographics, including the brothels, I reckon. I haven't seen that poll yet, but there you have it, Hillary Clinton leading in the brothels. And I'm sure her campaign wants to tout that, you know, as Nevada has, as they say, come into play for her. At one point, everyone thought she would just roll through there, but now they're not quite so sure with that thing just a couple of days away. We're talking about stuff we're not experts on. That can get you in trouble sometimes. So, how about this? Spring practice starts March 1st for the Rebels. We were kind of thinking March 2nd. March 1st is going to be the first spring practice, and we cannot wait for that. It's going to be fun to see these early eight, so to speak, these eight freshmen that decided to arrive in January, go out there and compete with their new teammates throughout the spring. Everybody wants to see Shea Patterson throw the football and how he's going to look and how quickly he can acclimate himself to SEC-level play. That's just one of many storylines for this spring. And, boy, it's going to be fun to watch. All of spring football going to be indoors, guys. Ole Miss doesn't have but one football field right now, and that's the one inside the Manning Center. The turf has been ripped up inside Vaught Hemingway Stadium as they're preparing to put natural grass in there. Both practice fields skint. Nothing but dirt right now. They're going to replant, resod grass on one and then have an artificial surface on the other. So everything indoors. Now, here's my question. There is no Grove Bowl this year. We already know that, Michael. But the fans are going to be clamoring to get a glimpse of this football team this spring. And I asked Hugh Freeze myself back in December, and his reply was, we're going to come up with something so the fans can get a gander at this team. Now, we weren't on the record or anything. We were just talking. My question is, where do you do it at? You can't put that many fans inside the Manning Center, because if they open a scrimmage up, there's going to be 15,000, 20,000 people there to come watch them scrimmage, to get the first glimpse of Shea Patterson in an Ole Miss uniform throwing a football. Am I wrong on that?
Well, hey, Ole Miss fans want to know. Oh, sorry, Dave.
No, I was just going to agree with you on, could you imagine the IPF trying to get packed out like that? I mean, there's just no room. I couldn't imagine 15,000 people, you know, with not enough room in between the sidelines and the outer walls. There's just no way.
Yeah, my guess on that, Michael, is going to be that there might not be a public viewing of this football team this fall, this spring.
Well, what I was saying is, if any Ole Miss fan wants to know anything about the Ole Miss football program, just ask some of the Mississippi State media. They claim to know everything about the Ole Miss team. So.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, I've been getting raked over the coals this morning for going on Bo Bounds' show earlier this morning. And there's no doubt Bo Bounds is part of the Mississippi State media, no doubt about that. But as long as Bo Bounds asks me fair questions, I am not afraid of going on his show. I want to get that fair and square. And even if he asks me what some Ole Miss fans may deem to be an unfair question, fire away, Bubba, because I'm more than prepared to handle anything Bo Bounds is going to ask me about the Ole Miss football program. And that's really all I got to say about that. But some folks don't like me going on the Boat Bound show. I'll say that much.
I agree with you.
I live the y'all lifestyle.
Wait a minute. Dave's like, I agree with the fans. You shouldn't go on there. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I agree with you. That's what I was saying. I agree with you that you made a good point. I seen the comments on the thread, and you know, it is the biggest radio station in the Jackson area. I mean, you're on there, you know, not to have an argument. You're there to, you know, state the current case in the Ole Miss athletics, and that's what you're doing when you go on the show.
Well, I'm not afraid to have an argument either, Michael, and you know, but you know, that's the bottom line. Listen, Boat Bounds has never tried to trick me or ambush me, and he couldn't if he wanted to, okay? I'll just tell you that. He could not if he wanted to. So I'm not fearful of going on the Boat Bounds show. I don't listen to Bo's show. I told him that yesterday. I had a conversation with Bo yesterday. I'm like, look, we don't get it in Oxford. I never listened to your show. And we talked about the issue. And I told him, I said, look, there are a lot of Ole Miss fans don't like me going on that show. But I also told him this, I'm not afraid to come on your show, and I can handle anything you throw at me. So I'm going to continue to talk as long as he wants to talk about Ole Miss football. And, you know, heck, if y'all got questions y'all want me to ask Bo next time I'm on his show, fire them off. I'll ask him. One of my readers wants to know why you said this or you did that. I have no problem in the world with that whatsoever. But my job is to talk about Ole Miss football across every media platform that I possibly can. It helps our site at Rebels 247, and, you know, going to continue to do so. If he's got some opinions that I disagree with or that Ole Miss fans agree with, we'll hash that out if it ever comes up. But as far as talking about what the offensive line looks like this spring or the depth of the wide receivers core, if I can talk about it and 100,000 people in Jackson, Mississippi can hear me talk about it, then I'm going to talk about it. And for the second time, I'll say, that's all I got to say about that. Anyone else? Michael, closing thoughts. Dave, closing thoughts. Michael, go first.
All right. I just wanted to say, I just want to make one last pleading to any of our listeners that may happen to be Donald Trump fans. If you want to support him, that's fine, but could you stop saying he's anti-establishment? He's an old white guy that's a real estate mogul billionaire. He is the establishment. It's going to make me throw up blood, David. It is. I'm going to have an ulcer if I hear one more person say he's anti-establishment, and I'm right there with you. That's all I got to say on that.
Well, I can see your point on that, but outsider maybe, a political outsider, but I don't know. I mean, Hillary Clinton was at his wedding, so you know, I mean, you can.
He's pretty inside.
We're not going to have a backwoods country lawyer from Illinois get elected president anymore. Those days are over with. So every one of them standing up there, they're insiders and establishment to some extent. Maybe not Bernie Sanders, though. I don't know if I can say that about the burn, a.k.a. Larry David. But good point. All right, Dave, swinging it over to you, man. Bat it out of the park.
Well, I do want to bring up one topic in regards to this podcast. Over the past couple weeks, a lot of our listeners and subscribers have, saying that they've had some issues listening to the podcast on the embed link that we display in the article. One thing, and David, you've mentioned this with some of the subscribers on the board. In the past, we've had the podcast subscribed onto iTunes. Currently working through those processes now, so that is looking good. I know a lot of subscribers were wanting that feature back, and it is coming on down the road. Just to give y'all a heads up on that.
Awesome. Awesome deal. Well, and I do appreciate you guys giving us your time, as always. And the occasional outburst from my sidekick, Corey Kate, she likes to pine in every now and then. She stays by Daddy's side most of the day. But we do appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for being a part of our community on Rebels 247. And that's just as much your community as it is ours. And we hope you treat it as such. And until next time, I'm David Johnson for Michael Quirk and Dave Bevin and 247 Sports.